Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I hope that you have tuned in, and I feel like you have tuned in today. If you have tuned in, I'm your host, Reverend Jerome Lee, and this is the hottest show on the dial. This is Straight from the Street, your power hour, where we'll get into some great information. And I'll be, again, your humble servant, the Reverend Jerome Lee. This is the hottest show on the planet. NEAR2X Radio, the voice of the people. Yes, you heard what I said. NEAR2X Radio, the voice of the people. Let us get right into the streets. And if you're in your truck or if you're in your car or if you are on your phone, won't you get up on that dial and call your cousin, your brother, your auntie, and your sister and tell them to tune into www.blackonblackunity.com. Let me repeat that again. www.blackunity.com. Let me do it again. www.blackonblackunity.com. So again, without any further ado, I want to share with you some very interesting stories. I met this brother maybe about a month ago. And I think that audience and family, you're going to be blessed by the best, which is God, to share his story about his incarceration. His name is John Champion. And Brother Champion has a very good story. He did 23 years. Yes, you heard what I said, 23 years of incarceration for a crime that he didn't commit. So, again, when everybody thinks that you don't go to jail for not being black, well, sometimes you do or just being in the wrong place. But he has a story that I think that we as a family need to listen, hear, and be supportive, because this could be your niece, your uncle, your grandfather falling into the pitfalls of the law. So, again, this is Straight from the Street. I'll be your humble servant, Jerome Lee, the right Reverend Jerome Lee, Straight from the Street. So, again, get up on that phone and call your family and your friends and tell them the show is on. So, without any further ado, I would like to introduce you to Brother John Champion. So, John, can you say hello to the audience?
How y'all doing today?
All right. So, Brother Champion, your story is a very phenomenal story, and it's filled with a lot of ups, downs, and everything. But again, can you just tell us, first of all, how old were you when you first got incarcerated, and what was the time period like? Give us a little bit of backdrop about you during that time before you became incarcerated, you know.
Okay, I was 38 years old. And at the time that I got locked up, I was doing very good. You know, I had just got my CDL license, working for D.C. Public School as a bus driver. And that was the most high-paying job I ever had. And at the time, you know, I was trying to really get my life together, but I had one problem. I was on drugs, and that was my, you know, that was my real, real back problem that I had. But at the time, when this incident happened, it's like because I had a drug problem, they stick this crime on me. Basically, on May the 10th, 1998, I was over some friend houses, and I was getting high. You know, my problem was, you know, back then, you know, crack cocaine was one of the biggest drugs in D.C., and I had a bad drug problem. So now the government, they came to me and say this was the motive of me killing my landlord.
Okay. Well, let me just stop for a minute and just ask you this. So, not to go into particulars, so can you just tell me in your, I guess, your experience with the law, how was that for you? Was this your first time being locked up, second, third, fourth, or explain to us how did you end up in this? Was this your first time being
entrapped by the law or what?
Yeah, this was my first time.
Okay.
And so I wasn't used to the system. And, you know, I decided after they had locked me up, I decided to just not sit back in jail or prison and just not do anything. So what I did, you know, I stayed in the law library and looked up a lot of case laws and everything. And I realized that, I have all the proof in the case laws support all my arguments.
Okay.
So, you know, starting off, I let other inmates assist me. You know, they call them jailhouse lawyers. And I realized that that wasn't nothing but a hustle. So what I did was say, okay, you trying to get out of jail, you're going to have to do this yourself.
Gotcha.
So I started off from scratch.
Okay.
You know, I worked in Unicor because when you're fighting your case, you have to have money, you right. know.
Now, hold on for that. So where were you at? Was this in the Maryland area, D.C. area? Where was this at? So, you know, kind of give us the backdrop, like where did you grow up? Did you grow up in D.C., Maryland, or Virginia? Because we have an audience that's broad.
Right.
So just share with them where you grew up there. You know,
okay.
Washington, D.C. or Maryland.
Right. I have grown up in Washington, D.C., northeast of Trinidad area.
Okay.
And actually, I lived there most of my life, you know. And it's a pretty good neighborhood. And basically, you know, I just tried to do my best to stay out of trouble. But at the time, like I said, I had a drug problem. And, you know, people I grew up with, like right now, they're not even living around in the neighborhood at this time, you know. Everybody that moved out to different Maryland, Virginia. You know, basically, I was trying to live there the rest of my life because that's a neighborhood that you can raise your kids, you know, and bring up a good family.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, after the 80s, the drugs took over the city, and basically, I just got caught up in that.
Okay, let me I just say, like, the same thing for me. So your incident took around about when in that 80 what? Around about what time?
98.
Okay. So, again, for me, I think that looking at the system, I didn't know anything about it either. And I think that a lot of times what people don't understand is that it's easy to get in trouble but hard to get out. And the system is set up, and for statistic facts, if people don't know, that if you're talking to one out of five individuals, that one of the five have either been on parole or probation or locked up.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a fact. And when I heard those statistics, I was like, the Scooby-Doo type thing. Mm-hmm. And that is absolutely true. So, again, this is more prevalent than what you think it is. And then the other thing that we have to see, family, is that in this system, once you get caught in it, everything revolves around money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what you call the general of the rule and exception of the rule. So some of these cases, you may catch a public defender. And what is that? A public defender is the person who represents an individual who doesn't have a lot of money to pay a regular lawyer. Like if the lawyer charged $100 an hour, the public defender for the city, they may pay him a different wage. So, again, the resources for the public defender is different because if he has 30 or 40 clients and none are paying, and I'm just doing this as an eight-hour gig, you're not going to get the best in that. So that's what I want to clarify as we look at his story and other stories like his, that, first of all, when you're caught up in the system, this system is based about money. And when people say the haves and the have-nots, it's truly cut like that. When people say OJ, that was a very racial divided moment in America, but I understood what it meant because it was the African-American brother who had the access to lawyers that could fight the system because the system engages with us as the people to break you. So if you don't have any money, it's no way in 7 kilometers that you're going to be able to defend yourself at a beautiful way without no money. You know, some people say it like this: Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that got his or her own money. True, because this system is based off of money. You need money in order to work around that. And we're going to go a little bit more into his step, but I want to give us as a radio audience the backdrop to some of the elements of incarceration. And that meaning that what are the nuances, and nuances meaning what are the variables or the components or the this everyday things that we trip up into, whether it's your grandson or whether it's your niece, your nephew, or your next-door neighbor. And what they are fighting is two type of wins. It's the WIN and the WIND. The WIND is something that is tangible. When you win a case, you walk out saying, ha, I got it. I walked away with something. And then when you fight the WIND, you can swing at that all year. You can sing at it, dance at it, and it's not going nowhere, family. So I just want to say that to you all that this is very touchy, and it's very heavy because it's a lot of young men. I was looking last night in the, if you all don't know, it's a reentry plan that's done by the Brookings Institute. And the Brookings Institute is what they call a think tank. And a think tank is where you have some of the greatest minds in the country come together to come around an issue of incarceration to see what are some of the solutions that can be rendered to be able to help the system, in essence, putting a Band-Aid on something that needs a stitch. And if it has a stitch in it, we're going to put a stitch in it. So in this case, the Brookings Institute came up with some ideas to help bring down some of the incarceration rates really around the country. And the only way that that can come down, family, is that you got to change laws. You got to change laws. And these laws are everyday laws. Like, for example, when I worked at DYRF, they would lock up people for jumping the rail or getting on the bus. So it's going to cost that kid thousands of dollars to get a lawyer, go back and forth, the community. But there are people out there where they can really be doing crime. And we chasing down. So that bogged up the system till it was just crazy. You seen 10 kids, what you in here for? I jumped over the metro thing. Everybody have done something stupid. I've done that many a times in my youthfulness. But they were doing too hard. So where there's a lot of law, there's no love. And where there's a whole lot of love, there's less law. So in this case, we have a system that's predicated on building itself up on just being hard. What can we do to make money? If Sally Sue and Aunt May ain't got no money, then you can't get nothing from them but an IOU. And to me, I think that it's very important to see that let's be able to help individuals. Now, I'm going back into his case, so I'm going to come in and out. We're going to talk a little bit and share a little bit. So what I found out is that the district has one of the highest rates of incarceration around the state than a lot. So for every, if I'm correct, for every 100,000, you have 100, I think it is, persons that are incarcerated. So we had a big number. And also, and I'm going to share, if you're just tuning in, this is Straight from the Street, and I'll be your humble servant, the Reverend Jerome Lee, and you're listening to the hottest, you heard what I said, the hottest show on the planet, and that's Straight from the Street. So this point of what I'm bringing to us is that this system is predicated off of this making money, and we have to see when enough is enough is enough. So in DYRF, what they were doing was giving these kids second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth chances. And every time they fall, they would get back up. And sometimes when you play with the system, you think that everything is a joke. So then they start ended up being hard. So, and I'll never forget this. I was one of the first individuals to be with one of the young individuals that received 120 months. And for those who don't know what 120 months is, you know when you make your car payment and they tell you 46 months, 36 months, and if they gave you a car note and they told you it was 120 months, that's 10 years. So the young gentleman had 10 years, and the CV look on his face was like, wow, they really not playing. And that's where, again, you hear me say this all the time, where there's a lot of law, there's no love. And where there's a lot of love, there's less law. So they hit him with 120 months. I don't know where he is, but I hope that the blessings of God is following him and that he's doing his time like the young Jerome that I was, looking for the library. Library. It's the library. Something in there. You have the resurrected. What is it that you're having buried? It's information. You have to go in the library and resurrect it. You resurrect it with your tenacity, with your commitment, with your understanding that you want the truth. And if you heard me, if you've been listening to this show, if anything, you've always heard me say that sermons don't set you free. Speeches don't set you free. The truth sets you free. So we need the truth. So you need to search for the truth. And what I did, I knew that in any institution that I went into, the first thing that I went to, no, it's not the gym. No, it wasn't to run to see what type of room that I was, because I didn't want to be content. And they call that being institutionalized, where you're just so comfortable with it that you don't want to go nowhere. I went to the library, and it was up to me to resurrect the truth. And I was so thankful that along in my journey that I found the truth. It was on Channel 32. It was Roosevelt Liston having a show called For the People, where you had Cornel West, Dr. John Henry Clark, Ivan Van Sertima, Sheikh Anta Diop, Francis Cress Welsing, all these great minds at my disposal. And what I would do is have the guy that I knew tape it, and I would pay him a pack of cigarettes. The information that he gave me, family, was so powerful that I still have those tapes. Because those tapes were just like gold to me. They were like money to me. They were more than money. It was like a promise that the more that I got into the truth, the greater I felt. I felt like being empowered, that I knew that, say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. I'm a king. Why? Not because I have on a robe, but my honesty, my loyalty, my truth, my trust, my commitment of who I was as a black man trying to find the truth. And it's hard when you're illiterate. LC, legally crazy. LS, legally dumb. It's hard. But I think that the word of God tells us that God sows where he doesn't reap. And I'm so glad that he sowed some individuals in my life to make me reap knowledge, made me reap wisdom, made me reap understanding. And when I reaped those benefits, the first thing that I did was give it back. And love ain't love until you give it away. The truth ain't the truth until you give it away. I don't want to just look good by myself. I want everybody else to look good like I do. And if you ever rode on the ignorant train, everybody that's riding on that train, you already know it's going to derail. Somebody's going to go away for a long, 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 long time. And some people going to the graveyard. And on the ignorant train and the stupidity train, There are warning signs all along. Fine, 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 fine. Grandma may say it. Mama may say it. But when you fall, everybody's saying the same thing. So what I want to do today is to inspire my audience, my new posse, my family, that we can rise up and go in the street. So being straight from the street, in the street, with some knowledge, with some wisdom, with some love, with some understanding and some compassion. And when you meet a brother like John Champion, you can say, my brother, welcome home. Where's home? Home is where your heart is, your cardia, your thoughts, your will, and emotions. When you see a king, you know it. Why? Because there's something about that brother that makes him special. And if he got a name champion, that means that he got to be either the people's champ or his family's a champion. Mm-hmm. So today I want you to be inspired by his story, but I want you to be inspired about what is to come in your family with those that are incarcerated who want to come out and do new things, new aspirations, new hope. And they need to be connected to people like myself and like him. You can hit me up on JeromeBLee1@yahoo.com. If you got a family member or someone who's coming out, this is a movement that we're building to help men and women find their promise, find their purpose, but most of all, find their voice. It wouldn't be fair to me as a host of a radio talk show not to give a platform to someone who needs to say that, hey, I made it. And somebody else can make it. And you remember that song in church? We used to sing it, This Little Light of Mine. And you remember what I said a couple of other shows? Your light is big. It's not a small light. It's a powerful light. It's bigger than the light of lights of lights. Why? Because you light the light with your hope, with your understanding, with your illumination. So today I want to illuminate hope for you to give to those that are incarcerated. So if you didn't write your cousin, your nephew, your niece, your brother, or somebody, please write them. Please take the time to do what the Bible says. And I hate phony Christians, church people, who say they love God or they love Allah, and you don't go back and check on your family members who are incarcerated. Mentally, emotionally, those that are physically. And you go to church dressed up, but you are leaving something behind. And that's your family member. Too many times we like to pray with an E instead of an A. Pray on people instead of pray with people. I want you to pray with people. And we can be so quick to judge. But just remember the same finger that's pointing out, there's three coming back to you. So on this day, I want you to be ever mindful and reflective of what we have as a community. We have a lot to give, a lot to share. Every bit counts. If you got a book that got some sense in it, send it to them. And if you got a card, if you can go out and spend money on frivolous stuff, why can't you go out and send a card to someone who's incarcerated and say, you know what, keep on fighting the fight of faith. Keep on fighting the fight of hope, love, and commitment. Hold on. Got a brother right here beside me, 23 years. I don't even know how I did it with 10. But for 23 years, he held on to a promise that one day he was going to be free. Free to tell his story of broken justice, broken promises, disappointments, upsets, and the system. Sometimes we trust in it, but sometimes it's not fair to us as black folk because the death penalty is given more to black folk than it is to white. It can be the same case, the same thing, but we get it. We're less as a people on this planet, but we're 63% more incarcerated than any other race. So again, I'm talking with commitment and fortitude to change the system and play my part to fix it, to correct it, and to be an advocate for the voice of the voiceless.
So if you want to ride on that train, if you want to come straight out the street and on the street, then toot your horn, bop, bop, or that truck that you're driving in, boop, boop, or that car, or the bike. Then I'm tooting that horn because I'm going to do my part in fighting the fight of justice, freedom, love, mercy. That's what you need to do. And it's good to hear the truth, but what you going to do when you get it? Are you going to go out and love people? Are you going to go out and surrender some time, some energy, some commitment, and most of all, courage to do something that you know you should have did 10 years ago? And that's be all that you can be with God. Yes, you heard what I said, be all you can be for God. So I'm really feeling this, what can I say, this movement. And it's so beautiful to see people like him, myself, doing the right thing. I'm not bumming anything from you, but I want to give you something that you can't pay me for, because nobody could pay him for the 23 years that he did for something that he never committed. You can't pay me back the 10 years that I missed, because from 19 to 31, that's gone. But what I do have is a voice of freedom, of love, of understanding. Extra, extra. Read all about it. What God has done for me, he can also do for you. Why? He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Lift up your voice. Let heaven and earth sing with the remnant of heaven's harmony, because God is new in my heart and my thoughts and my will and my emotions. So forgive me if I'm excited, but I'm excited about what we can do as a people and what we can do as a family, but most of all, what we can do as a community to embrace all of our returning citizens. So today, I hope if you're listening to me, if there's someone that you know that's incarcerated, take a little time. And as the psalmist said, come on and see about me. Check on your loved ones. If they're in New Hampshire, New York, Connecticut, wherever they at in this system, see them. Check on them. See how they living. Send some love out there. Because if you were in the same place that they were, what would you want? Would you want for me to act like you didn't exist or to say that you exist? And I hope that you are saying that you want us to check on you. Because there's some special diamond in the rough that's in some cell being locked down as I speak to you right now that's saying, please, Lord, let them send a letter. Because I need to feel love, I need to hear the love, but most of all, the people who say they love me, I need to feel that love. Not just see it, but I need to feel it in some words called a letter, in some words called a picture, in a word called a moment in time that's frozen that I took a picture together, and you sending it to me saying, wow, because I remember this picture you sent to me. That's moments in time, ladies and gentlemen. You can't captivate that. You can't put that in a bottle. But what you did was put it in a time called the picture. And we go back to look at the picture in a different time. So again, I'm just so excited about what it is that I do. And what I love doing is sharing stories of the last, the least, and the lost, who turned that into the gifted, the bright, and the brilliant, with special gifts and promises straight from above to bless those on earth with their gifts, their talent, and time. So I present to some and share with others my brother, the champion of all people, John Champion. I'll give the mic back over to you, and as we have our commercial break in 7 more minutes, you can share what you got to share. Anything. Don't have to be your case. It's going to be about life.
Yeah, I would like to thank my family for the support. I have the Vinnies in my family that helped me when I came home. Because, you know, this is very important. Because when the brothers come home, I was in the halfway house out of Baltimore. And I seen people just go on escape. And the reason why they doing this, because they was under a lot of pressure. And what happened was they had no support. So they gave up hope. And what they did, you know, they ran and, you know, the end of this story, you know, the U.S. Marshals came up to pick them up, and they went right back to the pen. So it's a good thing that, you know, like Reverend Lee was saying, you know, you have to help the brothers, because what happened, without any support, they're going to just go right back in the system. And like I said, I had the Vinnies, I had the Rawells, and I have my great friend, Linda Sullivan, and her family. Now, these are friends that I grew up with in Trinidad. When I came out, they came right away and gave me a call and asked me, do I need anything or any help or anything, you know, and that really touched my heart.
So with that in mind, would you say that most people would need support?
Yes, they really do.
Okay. And the second thing, do you think that people that are in there, do you think that mental health is a thing that can be addressed when people come out? Because that's a lot of time that you went through. Give us or the audience a share of some of the, what is it like a day in there or after like doing 10 years or 20 years? How does that make the human spirit feel when you're in there that long? Because you could have turned and, you know, say, you know, forget the world, forget everything. But what was it that held you together? Was it God, your faith, was it family? What was it that held you together in those times?
It was my God, you know, because without him, I don't know what I would have did. And what I did, you know, I just did all the right things. You know, I stayed away from the bad inmates. And the positive ones is doing something. And by me being in that positive group, what happened was you had some brothers in there would teach you law. And so I stayed around positive people and stayed in the law library, and I figured a way out to try to get out of jail. And that's my story right there. And basically, you know, you will have a lot of negative people. And if you could stay away from that, you'll make it.
Okay. So when I was in there, I think what held me together was the Christian community, because I used to go to church all the time, and then I became the leader of the church. And that really inspired me to, you know, give back more. Then when I got towards the end of my sentence, I started a group called Positive Self-Awareness. So that meant more to me, giving back, because the institution didn't pay for the books. People sent me the book in, and I have a copy of it, and it's called Zig Ziglar, See You at the Top. And I was in the bottom of life, but I saw the world in a different perspective. And I think that's what makes the penitentiary more of a college. And I think that most of our youngins today, they don't look at it as a place of learning opportunity. I think now, when we grew up, I think that if one could say, we feared, like, oh, man, I don't want to go in there, man, you know, because there were so many horror stories. I think now, would you agree that the young folk don't fear it? I think that we feared it. It wasn't cool to be locked up. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Exactly. It's a whole different generation.
Yeah. Okay. Another question that I had, I think that the people would want, that I would like for you to share with them. What is it about the new you now that you really appreciate? You know, because I think that a lot of times when I meet people that sometimes are incarcerated and that much time that you did, first of all, I don't know, as a community, we have said thank you, but I thank you for coming out to make a difference where you could have gave up the towel, threw in the towel, but you came out with a great attitude. So when the sister Nia 2X gave me your number and said, well, you know, what do you think? You know, and I was inspired by the positivity that you had. So what point in your incarceration that you just said, you know what, I'm going all positive, even though I know a negative thing happened to me, what made you say, I got to be positive?
I think I got in like about 5 years into my bid. And what had happened, I was looking around and see how many older people had been here and they passed away in the penitentiary and they gave up. And I decided to say, you know what, I'm going to fight this.
Got
you. You know, and basically, and that's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did, you know, I kept my head up and I kept praying every day and I just stuck with the right people.
Got
and
you.
If you were the right people that's doing the right thing, all the right things going to happen to you.
Well, I want you to probably share the answer to this question when we come back. But, wow. That's a long time that you went through, you know, for incarceration.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I don't even know how you would do that type of time. It's sort of like, you know what, hey.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
So yeah, exactly.
What does that mean to someone like you that says, hey, 27 years, I'm just trying to wrap my head around all that time you did.
Yeah.
And when that young guy said to me, hey, man, I 23 months, 120 months.
Right.
Man, that was crazy.
Yeah, I just kept my head up, you know. And when you think positive things happen.
Got you.
And, you know, as I was felt, you know, this is a big thing, too. When I never gave up, I just, you know, every court just kept batting down my motions. And I just never gave up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I seen a building. One time, the District of Columbia sent me a Christmas card.
Mm-hmm.
And the Christmas card said, never give up.
All right. Now, hold on to that thought. Lock onto your devices, call your friend, call your cousin, your brother, your auntie, and all of them. This is a powerful show, and we have some exciting brothers that's going to share their testimony, and we'll be right back after this commercial break. And this is your host, Reverend Jerome Lee, and you're live from Straight from the Street.
How you doing, man?
All right. This portion of the program is sponsored by the following, and you're here listening to Neo2X Radio, the voice of the people. We want to ask a question to make sure if you don't know, we need you to know. Did you know superstar, Oscar, award-winning actress, and comedian Monique has won a major victory against Netflix? Monique stood her ground against the media giant, alleging race and gender bias when she refused to agree to an unacceptable offer to do a comedy special in 2018. Monique argues that her resume and history of sellout comedy venues over the course of her career did not appear relevant and was completely overlooked when Netflix offered her a substantially low figure to do a comedy special. Netflix's motion to dismiss Monique's claims of discrimination and retaliation were all denied by the court. Way to go, Monique. Stand your ground. Excuse me, please. Excuse me. Also, our good friend, Dr. Ife Williams, wants us to hear her radio talk show every Wednesday, 10 a.m. Eastern, on WPFW Radio, the Pacifica Network. Her show is Wake Up and Stay Woke. Her show is dedicated in remembrance every show for our late great Baba Dick Gregory, who always reminded us to wake up and stay woke. They talk about many things with guests that bring solutions, honor, and those who make important things happen. Join them every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern on WPFW 89.3 FM, the Pacifica Network. And if you're around the world, you can stream them at www.wpfwfm.org. WPFW, your station for jazz and justice. Okay, we're going to go back to one of the most powerful radio hosts in the country, indeed the planet, and we're talking about your brother and mine, Reverend Jerome Lee, and his weekly program called Straight from the Streets.
Thank you. Thank you, my sister. Thank you, Nia 2X Radio, the voice of the people. I'm so excited that we have a great, phenomenal cast of individuals on this radio station, and I'm so glad to be a part of it. And if you're just tuning in, tell your friends, if you want something to give away instead of a gift with money, give them knowledge, give them wisdom, give them understanding. And it's in www.blackonblackunity.com, www.blackonblackunity.com. This station has so much to offer. And I think that if you give your mind a chance to re-up, we've been up on sugar, up on coffee. So now I want you to be up on knowledge. So again, I'm your host, the Right Reverend Jerome Lee, and you're listening to the hottest show on the planet, and that is Straight from the Street. So if we haven't came down your street, just hold on, or your block or your avenue, we're getting there. So again, we're coming back, and again, we have Brother John Champion, and we have Brother Andre Allen, who did 15 years in the federal institution, and he has a story to share, too. I met him when I came home in 96 at Metropolitan Wesley AME Zion Church, and from there, he was just a young brother who was very talented in the music. He was one of the first, before it's popular now, was go-go in the gospel. They were doing that, playing the congos. And if you're not from this area, go-go is the thing that's in the DMV, and that is the Maryland, D.C., and Virginia, and that is the go-go. So if you have YouTube, you can get up on that, and you can look up go-go, and you'll see what we're talking about. So he was one of the first amongst his peers to be able to bring go-go to the church. And it was very inspiring to see how he moved with the congos and drums. And he has a family that's very loyal to God and also to music. So I want him to share his story a little bit with us. So my brother, you can share with the radio family. First, give us your name and where you grew up and a little bit about who you are.
Well, first and foremost, you know, I'd like to praise God for the opportunity to just be present in this moment. And I'd like to thank you, Reverend Lee, for having me. It's an honor to just be here in a moment like this, because it's too often, man, that good brothers are forgotten about. You know, spending a lot of time in institutions, you know, I know what it feels like to be forgotten about. Mm. You know, I know what it feels like to be loved. You know, I come from a loving family. I come from, you know, a good supporting cast. And I know what it's like to feel like you've lost love. So, you know, to just come back on this side of life and to have people in your corner, you know, to support you, to support your return, to embrace you, and to not look down on you, you know, regardless of what you've been through.
Can you share with us, my brother, how long was the last stint that you did? How long was that?
Well, it was 15 years. I did 15 on a 210-month sentence.
Ladies and gentlemen, family, I don't know if you all know that when you walking away with some court papers in your hand, I still remember when they told me you have a 31-year UFAC. I like to flip out. 31, man, I almost failed. And the lawyer came back tomorrow, yippee, we got a UFAC. UFAC, man, they gave me 31. What you talking about? So, again, family, that's the stuff that we're talking about. I'm talking to two men not further out as I've been, this brother, have neither of them have been out even a year yet. John just came on maybe about a month ago. So, again, these are brothers straight from the system with hope, inspiration, love, commitment, fortitude, not only to their self but to their family and to the community. And most of all, instead of shooting, hooting, and looting, instead of being down on everything, they're up on everything. They're up with giving love back, support, giving and sharing and caring to their kids, to their significant other, but most of all, to their community. And I think that that's more applaudable than you going out, you know, being happy because of new rap songs rap. But these men are rapping new gifts of understanding, new gifts of hope, new gifts of love. That's wrapped up. And it's not wrapped up all the time in music. It's wrapped up in people, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm so glad to be able to today to be able to see my brother prospering, clothed and in his right mind, and not looking for shortcuts as his answers, because a lot of times when we're young, we look for the shortcut in life. And what does that mean? What is the quickest way that I can get to my promise without no work? And we all could understand that because that's what we've all done. So we kind of understand that. So, again, I salute him as my friend. I salute him as my brother to come out and just really be on the ball. He's committed and trying to put rap videos together to help the next generation behind him. So, again, I applaud him where he could have came home frustrated, bewildered, thinking that someone owed him. No, he doesn't even come from that type of cloth. So I'm so honored today to be able to get a chance for him to share with us a little bit about him and what he likes to do. So can you share with us, I think all of us, come up a little bit closer, both of y'all, and if you can both share with me, what was it like for you, Andre, in the end of your bit and coming home? Was you prepared? Did you have a plan together? Or like me, I had a plan coming out. You know, I was like, let me get this together. Let me get that together. I'm trying to get the, you know, trying to get the support system together. And as I spoke last week, what I was saying is that you need to work early on your exit plan on getting out of there. Mm-hmm. I was institutionalized, family. I wanted to stay in there with my little box of commissaries. My Muslim hall wanted to sell that and be down. I don't want to go home. And something in me said, my brother, are you LC, legally crazy, LS, legally slow, or LD, legally dumb? Yes, yes, yes. Checking all boxes. I was there. So I'm not even going to fake with you, because sometimes life can lure you in a place where I know this surroundings. It's familiar to me. Would you all agree with that? It's familiar. Exactly. I ain't got to do nothing. I know these. And one thing, family, what y'all don't know, when you're doing long time, you learn conflict resolution, because if me and Andre got 15 years together, Andre not going nowhere and I'm not going nowhere. So we got to learn how to cohabitate together. So that meaning that we got to beef, we got to find a way to work through that. So you can't go around it. You got to go through it or address the issues. So, again, can you share, both of you all, I guess I'll give the mic to you first. Can you share with us a little bit about your exit plan on coming home, so that way the people can understand what it is that they can do to help their loved ones as they're coming home, what it is that they need to do to prepare their self, their home, their mindset, really. I did have a plan. I had a I planned the best I could, and I realized that, that there was nothing on the inside that could have prepared me for what I had come home to, in terms of the changes. I did prepare myself. I took advantage of all the programs and everything the institution had to offer. And I came home with a mindset, you know, and some of the brothers that preceded me home, you know, they would reach back and write and say, you know, if you do one thing, Andre, just keep bitten. Mm. You know, and that was the advice that they gave me.
Can you explain to the audience what bitten is? Us, we know what bitten is. But for those who don't understand what bitten is, can you explain to them what bitten is or what that terminology means?
Right. When you see the Idle Minds, that was workshop. So when you're on the inside, right, you have to develop a program.
You have to develop a pattern for yourself, man, and live by that and keep yourself on whatever path it is that you're choosing and, you know, and be consistent at it. And it's actually a form of structure. And, you know, the brothers would tell me, when you come home, man, don't get lost in society, man. Maintain your focus and stay grounded and stay structured. And, you know, and I took that advice. And one of the things, just to respond on what Reverend Lee had asked, for all of those who have loved ones on the inside, you just have to, man, just is loving me and continuously reach out to them and let them know that you're there, because a support system is very important. Humans, we no man is an island, and you know, when we're inside those walls, a lot of times, you know, we're not able to be our full selves.
All right. So, Brother Champion, can you, that same question, what was, did you have a plan as you were exiting from doing your time of the 23 and Brother Andre on 15? That's a lot of time, so I don't know if people really, you know, family, just add up if someone, how many months you said it was again? 210. So think about that month, and here's, it's too long to even comprehend. So share with us on your how did you see, you know, getting your plan together as you came home, and you're not even down on 2 months. So.
Right. I had a real good plan because I had a, fortunately, I had a, I have a cousin. He owned his own business, home improvement. So I got right into working with my cousin. And when I was on home confinement, it took me a while because, you know, you had to get permission to go out and work. But I had that, and I had my mother's support. She saved that like $200 for me. I saved that $200. So that got me started. So basically, I did have a place to go to, and I had a job. And, you know, it's a lot of things go a long way with that because, you know, if you don't have food stamps, you know, you ain't gonna be able to eat. So people think it's real easy when a person come home, but it's easy to drop the ball when you don't have that family support. So I had good family support. So basically, you know, and I really thank my cousin Terry for helping me.
All right. We want to thank Brother Terry, too. We want to thank all those who helped both of you all individuals be successful black men, mind, body, and spirit. And I'm really, truly from the bottom of my heart, I think that this show, we're going to have to give a second part to this because I think is we just can't, I don't want to minimize it because I think that as Joe Madison said, you don't want to marginalize, underestimate, or devalue anybody's voice. So if anything, family, I want you all to take a time out today or tomorrow. Send those letters and those cards. Son, I love you. Daughter, I miss you. Cousin, I miss you. Uncle, I miss you. Auntie, I miss you. Because your love, we can't buy. So when you do that, that's coming from your heart. That's better than any card that you could give a kid because that's from the material part of you. Now when you're sending this card, that's from the spiritual part of you, your words, the way that you eloquently put in the card. And I tell people, if you can't write it, put it. It's a card that says what you say. Get it. Send it. Because that card will make not only a person incarcerated moment, it'll make their whole year. Because when they're down, they're going to pick that up. If it's a picture, it's a picture says a thousand things. So I'm here with all of us here at this table that we're sitting at, the table of brotherhood right now. You're sitting with people that has, at this table, is over 60 years worth of incarceration. Crazy, but true. Crazy, but true. Now, with all of that time, we did something with it. We came out better. I could have been negative. I could have said, man, look here, I'm going to be straight on the street. Now, you know what I mean? On the street, you know. I can't sling nothing but hope. I can't see nothing but hope, giving hope, sharing hope, promising hope. Jeremiah 29:11. I think that one of my shows that I just want to say is that to some
Pastor or Dr. Lewis M. Anthony was a very great inspirational brother who helped me when I came home. So I definitely, in memory of him, I do want to dedicate a show to him, because without him, it wouldn't be no me. And I think that Andre can say some of the things, because it was somebody who saw in us as young men talent, promise, and God's children. Not thugs, not hoodlums, not hood rats, not jokers just hanging out on the corner, but kings. He saw us as young prince who wanted to be able to make the world change. And we did it with spirituality. So I just want to thank God for those that are out there on the field doing God's will, that helped someone like John, that helped an Andre, that helped a Jerome, or whoever your family member is. Let's thank them. I want to thank them, because if it wasn't for those men and women coming into a prison institution, Tom Harmon and his wife, those Walt, it was a brother that was almost 80-some years old, coming back to give hope and inspiration to those. So did y'all have any moments like that in your spiritual awakening where people came back to give in the institution, or y'all had more brothers in there that was preaching? Who wanted to dabble with that? You?
Well, I had a brother, John Thomas. They released him, too, on the that COVID release, passion release. And he really inspired me. Matter of fact, we stay in contact right now. And the brother kept telling me, keep my head up. And I basically came home about 3 months after him.
So how long ago was that, Brother John? And then we'll...
That was about 6 months ago.
All right.
Yeah.
Brother Andre, to the same on that question?
Yeah, ironically, one of the first brothers that I met coming into the system, all that time I came in and didn't know, didn't understand, I couldn't see the future. Couldn't see through all that time. And Brother Norman X, man, I met this good brother, and he had life. Mm. And this brother was so humble and so beautiful.
Can you explain to the audience what life you mean? Spiritual, mental? What was that light that you saw in that brother?
Man, the brother was so peaceful. He was at peace with his circumstance. And I couldn't imagine it. I'm sitting here waddling in misery, trying to figure out, you know, at least the judge didn't, you know, he didn't write my life away with a pen. But this brother, man, was content. And I couldn't understand it. And when I seen him, I knew. I said, man, my circumstance is not that. I felt ungrateful for the life that I was gonna have in the future. And then, you know, ironically, the brother got pardoned.
Wow.
The brother got pardoned, man.
Right.
And that brother deserved it.
Mm.
And that brother was just an inspiration to me, man. Then and now.
All right. So I just want to say, in closing, family, this has been a powerful moment for me to be at the table of brotherhood with some great, phenomenal men of God, men of purpose, power, peace, and provision. So I always end my show with something different. So I would just like to say, are there some people that you just want to say thank you to who helped you in your process? If you have a couple of people that you just want to say thank you to, because I think my brother here said thank you to. So are there any individuals that you would like to say publicly thank them for helping you in your storm and coming out of your storm?
I do want to pay respect to the late, great Dr. Reverend Lewis Anthony. Was definitely an inspiration to my life. Brother Norman Next, brother of the Nation of Islam, a very powerful brother.
So we want to thank God for all those matriarchs, patriarchs, men and women who have come to help us be the men that we are. So, again, this is your host, the Reverend Jerome Lee. This is Straight from the Street. This is your hour of power, and I'll be your humble servant. So, again, I want you to stick, stock, and lay and hold
for next Thursday. We're coming right back at you. And keep it real. And this is your host, Straight from the Street. And we'll see you next week. And we're out of here.
You've been listening to another exciting episode of Straight from the Streets from your radio talk show host, your brother and mine, Brother Reverend Jerome Lee. Be sure to tune in next week right here on Nia 2X Radio to hear another exciting program hosted by your brother and mine, Brother Reverend Jerome Lee, putting it down like he always does. Keep it right here on Nia 2X Radio, the voice of the people. Sister Jennifer Jalencia is coming to the airwaves with Healing for Humanity. Find us 24/7 with 8 pages of shows at www.blackonblackunity.com.